Matthew 6, verses 5 and 6, right out of the greatest sermon ever preached in the Sermon on the Mount. We see the words of Jesus tonight, and so you look in your copy of Scripture, and let's look together there. Matthew 6, verses 5 and 6. Let's all read together aloud. You can see it on the screen, the words that Jesus said. Read with me aloud just now. When you pray, you're not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Don't be like a hypocrite. They pray for show. Be an intercessor. They pray for strength. Prayer. We never pray enough. But do you pray at all? There is a move, as I talk to people, of believing that just 3 or 4 minutes in the morning of a quick devotional time, one or two verses and a quick prayer and a cup of coffee and a donut, and you're done. We need to learn about intercession, about fervency, and how to pray. So tonight, I just want to take a few minutes and give you seven PowerPoints about prayer. The way that these things are done come through prayer. So let me give you seven of them tonight, and we'll look at these scriptures very quickly. Then I want us to circle this place. And if there's not enough room on the ground floor, you can go up in the balcony, up that handrail on either side, and you can pray. Just want to pray around these walls, in the back, up here at the front, anywhere you want to go. And I want us to tonight to symbolically say, Lord, make this house a house of prayer. I learned that with our friends in Kazakhstan. They never call this place a church. They say they build prayer houses. And if you remember, just a few days ago, some of our friends from Kazakhstan were here, I introduced you to them. And as he stood down at the front, he looked around and he said, I've never seen a prayer house this big. That's what he called it, the prayer house. Well, it's right out of Scripture. My Father's house shall be called a house of prayer, a prayer house. We do a lot of things in here. One of them's pray, but we don't do enough of that in comparison to everything else we do. So tonight, I'm going to give us time to pray. It's more than just the closing. Prayer tonight in this service, as we gather around these walls, is going to be what we do in this message. But I want to show you seven things that prayer will do, seven PowerPoints about prayer tonight. When you go into your inner room to close the door and go in secret, God sees in secret and He rewards openly. Our problem is we won't do everything openly, but we need to go into the inner room, into the prayer closet, and learn to pray. And when we do, when we pray with power, seven items, prayer points, come to us. Let me give you these. Number one, prayer, first of all, is the way we defeat the devil. The way you overcome the wicked one is through prayer. Listen to the Word of God in Luke 22. And you can write these verses down. You can look at them later. Luke 22 and verse 32. Luke 22 and 32. Verse 31, Jesus said, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Peter, the devil wants to sift you. Come again. But I have prayed for you. How in the world do we overcome the wicked one that wants to sift us? Not only does Jesus pray for us, but we pray for ourselves. We'll defeat the wicked one when we pray. Number two, the second prayer point tonight. What happens when we pray? Prayer is the way we acquire wisdom. James chapter 1 and verse number 5. If any man lacks wisdom. Anybody here lack wisdom? A bunch of liars in here tonight. Anybody in here lack wisdom?
Amen.
Amen. Is everybody in here? If any man lacks wisdom, let him do what? Pray and ask of God. And God will give you wisdom, applied knowledge in your life. We need wisdom for every choice that we would ever make in our life. Number 3, third prayer point tonight. Not only is it the way we defeat the devil, the way we acquire wisdom. Number 3, prayer is the way a backslider gets restored. Take your Bible and go to James chapter 5, over toward the back of the Word of God. In James chapter 5, you know these verses. I know you know them, but do you apply them? James 5, and we begin reading in verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins one to another. When's the last time anybody came to you and confessed sin? It's been 5 days for me since I had somebody come and say, Pastor, I was wrong. Please forgive me of that. Confess your sins one to another. Sin you commit just against God, you can take that just to the Father. But I'm telling you, when you are offensive to your brothers, you need to go to your brothers and say, I am sorry, I apologize. Confess your sins one to another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly and not rain. It did not rain for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. My brethren, if any among you strays from the truth, and one turns him back, let him know that it's he who turns a sinner from an error of his way will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. How in the world does a backslider get right and restored to God? Through prayer. We cry out unto the Father. We confess to Him. We confess to one another. Someone in this room tonight may very well have sin in your life, and you need to confess that unto the Father. And some of you may have sin that you need to go to a brother or sister and confess it unto them and say, I've been wrong, I'm sorry, forgive me. Prayer point number 4. Not only is prayer the way to defeat the devil, to acquire wisdom, the way a backslider gets restored, but number 4, prayer is the way saints get strength. You're in James, keep hanging a right to the book of Jude. Jude, there's only one chapter, and verse number 20. Jude chapter 1 and verse 20, it says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of things we're supposed to do in the Spirit. We're supposed to speak in the Spirit, supposed to walk in the Spirit. Love, the Bible says, in the Spirit. It also says to pray in the Spirit. You ever heard anybody pray in the flesh? You ever prayed in the flesh? Sure we have. But to pray in the power of the Spirit, that God is within us and strengthens us when we come to the end of who we are and the beginning of all that He is within our life. Prayer point number 4, the way saints get strength is through prayer. Number 5. The way we get laborers to the mission field is through prayer. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 38, Jesus speaking in this passage in 9 and verse 38, he tells us that we need to pray for laborers to go into the fields that are white unto harvest. Now tonight we know that the fields are white to harvest in Pensacola. They are around the world. They are where our mission team is tonight in Africa. The fields are white unto harvest, and they've seen many people saved while they're over there, been getting great reports. The fields are white unto harvest in Italy, where we've got a group tonight that are our own mission. The fields are white unto harvest in Mexico, where we've got a team that will go to Mexico. In Nicaragua, where we've got a team visiting in a few days as they leave to go on mission. You say, preacher, how do we get people to get on those teams? Now watch this. You ever been on a mission trip and you had the wrong people on the trip? Oh, yeah. There's nothing worse than going on a mission trip and having somebody that wanted to go on a vacation and they hooked up on a mission trip. They are absolutely useless. Matter of fact, they're worse than useless. They're like dragging an anchor. Because they're not there for mission. They're there to see the sights or go on a trip or just be a part. I tell you who you need on a mission trip. You need those that God's raised up and put it in their heart and said, I must go and do this. That I can do no other. So how do we get people into the fields that are wide in the heart? Pray for God to call out laborers, go on mission trips. Well, how do we have preachers to go into our church? Pray for God to send out those laborers into the harvest field. How do we find Sunday school teachers, Brother Robert? We pray for God to put in the heart of people that they'd go into the field and labor. How do we get people on mission? How do we raise up soul winners? Train them, sure, but I'm telling you, you've got to have a passion, and God put that within your heart, that we get laborers into the mission field. Prayer point number 5. Sixth thing that prayer will do. Number 6, the way we cure the sick is through prayer. In James' epistle, chapter 5, and verse number 13, the Bible says, in James 5:13, is any among you suffering? Anybody suffering here tonight? Let him pray. Anyone cheerful? I can tell by looking at this crowd, not many. He used to sing praises. Any among you sick? He must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Curing the sick. When someone is ill and call for the elders, we put oil on their forehead, put our hands on them, and pray for God to raise them up and to restore them. The preacher, do we do that? Yes, sir. Every time somebody calls, wants us to do that, we send teams. I go, others go, our leaders go, and we pray over them and ask God that he might heal and restore, and that we believe God. Prayer point number 6, the way we cure the sick, through prayer. And then I want everybody to turn to this last one in Mark before we break up and have prayer time tonight. We're going to apply what we're talking about. We talk way too much and pray not enough. We're going to spend some time praying tonight. In Mark 11, verse 23, I want you to see number 7, prayer point number 7, Mark chapter 11 and verse 23. This is the way we accomplish the impossible. You got anything needs done in your life that's impossible with man? Sure you do. We all do. Jesus is speaking here, and they're talking about the fig tree, and in verse 22, he's told the disciples, have faith in God. And he said, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it'll be granted to him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you will receive them, and they will be granted to you. Wow! What a verse! Pray, ask, believe, receive, and God does the impossible. You must pray within the will of God. Sometimes God says no. But I'm telling you, when you know the will of God, and you begin to pray and believe God for that, the way that we see the impossible done in the body of life of the church is through prayer. It's not through a Bible study. It's not through wrangling. It's not through human ingenuity. It's through God's people praying. Now, when you pray, and in the morning, I want all of you to have quiet time. You say, preacher, how do you pray? Well, there are 4 things you need to pray every morning. You can always remember this by the book of Acts, A-C-T-S. Very easy, it's sophomoric. We know this, teach this, and basic Christianity 101. If you're going to pray, here's the way you pray. A, adoration. You just adore the Lord. You bless his name. You're not thanking him, you're going to get to that thirdly. Adoration is just thanking him for the attributes of who he is. Lord, thank you for being faithful to me. in the morning, George ought to thank God. Lord, thank you. I just bless you for being faithful to me as I was singing. I guarantee you in the morning, I already have this afternoon. I've never been so tired in all my life. When I got done preaching this morning, I was absolutely spent when I got done today. I was wrung out over that message that God had placed in my soul to deliver the church today. I never fought a spiritual battle while I preached more than I did this morning. It was a hard word and a hard day. It was received by some, rejected by others. It was a hard day, but I will adore the Lord in the morning, and I get to my quiet time, and I will thank Him that He was faithful to put His word in the heart of people. I'll thank Him that His Spirit was in this place, and I'll just say, Lord, I just adore You. I bless You because You've been faithful. Lord, I thank You that You're righteous and that Your righteousness is what we lift up, and Your holiness is what we lift up. Lord, You are righteous and holy and faithful. And as Aletta was singing tonight, Lord, thank You. You are good. We adore Him. You just begin in the morning with adoration. C is confession. I'll have to come right after that adoration and say, Lord, forgive me. I doubted You Sunday. Lord, forgive me where I was fearful as sin. For I believe not. Lord, forgive me where I've been angry. Forgive me, Lord, where I was faithless. Adore Him. Confess your sin. T is thanksgiving. Now, boy, you can make a list as long as your leg here. Thank Him. Thank Him. Lord, thank You. I'll thank Him for the offering that came today. I don't know what it is. Won't know it Wednesday or Thursday, and they finally get it to me and add it all up and find out. But I'll be thankful. I'll just say, Lord, thank You for Your people. Thank You, Lord, that people came. We had a great crowd here today and tonight, and people were in this room. Thank You, Lord, that You were good to me. I thank You for the blessing came. Lord, I thank You that I wasn't sick on Sunday and was able to preach and in full voice and was going strong when I got done Sunday night. A lot of flu mess going around. People say, thank You, Lord, I didn't get it. Thank You, somebody else got it. Lord, I'm grateful unto You that You saw me through. Thankful, Lord, I got a job. Thankful, Lord, You stopped the oil leak. Thankful for, just give Him thanks. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and then S is supplication. This is where you begin to intercede for other people. You pray for them. Whatever those needs are, you lay those needs out before God and say, Father, here's a need, here's a need, here's a need, here's a need. One of my minister of music friends this afternoon, Brother Leo, he resigned today, nowhere to go. I'll pray for him. Hard day, very hard day for him. I'm on the phone with him this afternoon, trying to encourage him, bless his heart, and put a good word into him. I'll intercede for him, pray. God, open the door for his life, where you want him to be in days to come. It's your intercede. Your kids that are out and away from God, praying for them. Some of your kids that are out and living for God, praying, Lord, you'd keep them safe and whole, use them. Kids that are getting on up and thinking about getting married, God, bring the right person into their life. It's all that list that you keep. You ought to keep a prayer book in your life, something where you write these things down. I do it this way. On Monday, I pray for missionaries. I just take the first letter of the day of the week. Monday, I pray for missionaries. Tuesday, I pray for my own task. Wednesdays, I pray for workers. That's when I pray for Leo and others that are on our team. I just have a list of their name. Pray for them, the workers that are around us. Pray for Kathy on that day. She stays solid. I do. I pray for Kathy. She's in charge counting our money. I pray, God, don't let her have a weak day. I'm telling you, we've had more churches just ripped up and people stealing money, and praying that God, the counting committee will be what they ought to be. I pray for Brother Robert and what God wants to do in his life. And so I pray for the workers that are here at the church. And then Thursday, I pray for tasks again, another thing that we do. On Friday, I pray for family. I pray for my family every day, but on Friday especially, I list my mama and my daddy and my mother-in-law and my wife and my kids and Amanda and Bennett's wife, and just down that list, I just go and then pray for family on Friday. And on Saturday, I pray for saints. Many of you, I just ask God, put that in my heart. And Sunday, I pray for sinners. That's the way I do it. I just have a list, lost people, praying for them, that God would do a work within their life. I don't know how you do it, but you don't have some way to do it. That you ought to be a praying individual. That's just the way I do, but you know, you take that. You find your way. It helps me to write it down. I'll go to sleep praying if I'm not careful. I get dozy, I get quiet, so I have to write. Sometimes I'll walk when I pray. Now, to a new little place where we live, I'll walk around the pond, and if it's not, man, it's just been nearly so hot, you can't hardly stand it. I just die. So now I just sit in the air conditioned, look at the swing out over the other way. But when it's a little more pleasant, I go over and sit in that swing and rock and pray and talk to the Lord and write my book and call out unto the Father. I don't know how you do it, but you need a place that you pray. You need a way that you pray. Say, preacher, I don't know how. Well, let me tell you, there's only one way to learn to pray. At start. Just practice. Now I want to make a confession here. I do this from time to time when I have people in the church that I want to see them grow up. I'll watch them. And at the time I believe God speaks into my heart, I call on them to pray in public without telling them. They immediately grow some. I just seen it. You don't do that to everybody. I did it to Zach a while back, Greg. He is home. Well, he's up there in the Army and barking at everybody and playing second base and Army baseball. Hey, Brother Zach, how about come up here and pray for us while you're home? They just kind of grow up. It's a good thing. You can't do that for everybody in the church, but it's just who God puts in my heart, and it's a way of being obedient. But you see, you'll never learn to pray in public till you do. But you'll never learn to pray with power till you begin. You must start. It's that old illustration that I've used with you guys again and again and again, that if God calls you to go to New York, get on the next plane. If you can't afford a plane ticket, get in a car. If you don't have a car, get on a motorcycle. If you don't have a motorcycle, get you a bicycle. If you don't have a bicycle, start walking. If you don't have any legs, just fall toward the northeast. Start. We got Ministry Village going. Charles Rossell, my good friend in Leesburg, he called me again this afternoon. Most aggravating preacher in America. He called me. How's it going? Everything's doing well. And he wants to know who's going to be the new president of North American Mission Board. That's why he always calls, thinking I'm going to tell him, but I'm not going to do it because I don't know. And then he always asks, how is the clinic? Have you got the money for the clinic yet? No. Well, are you working on it? Yeah, I'm working on it. He said, good, I'm praying for you. He's the one that when I asked him and God had put Ministry Village in my heart, I said, Charles, how do you do it? And he said, just start. I said, what do you mean, just start? He said, just start. I said, I don't know how to start. He said, yes, you do. Just start. He said, get a house, put somebody in it, and minister to them. And watch God grow it up. Just start. And then he turned the tables on me. He said, when did you start preaching? I said, I was 17. He said, how much did you know about preaching? I said, nothing. He said, when did you preach? I said, I was called on Sunday, and the next Sunday I preached. He said, how much did you know? I said, absolutely nothing. But I just started. He said, you know more about doing Ministry Village than you did about preaching. He said, a matter of fact, you may know more about Ministry Village now than you know about preaching now. Just start. The preacher, I don't know how to pray. Just start. Talk to God. Now, don't forget this. He's opened a new and living way. You don't have to anybody to help you. You don't have to have the right words. I love to hear brand new Christians pray. Matter of fact, I've heard folks just get saved and then pray and use cuss words when they pray. Really? Because they didn't know any better. I mean, it's just the only language they had. But they're more transparent than some hypocrites that sit in the church. God will clean them up. And just to speak out of your heart, what is there? God hears my need. Praise Him. So here's what I want to do tonight. In a minute, the pianist is going to start playing real soft. And when she begins to play, you're going to go with a friend. Preacher, don't have a friend. Then you're going by yourself. All right? Now, I'm going to remain right here because somebody's here tonight that's never been saved, and you need to come talk to me. Somebody's here and ought to join this church by yourself or a couple of families, and I'm going to be right here, and I'm going to receive you. But people are going to be moving all over this room, and I want you to go. And what I want you to do, now, Brother Gary, you be yourself now, aren't you? All right, good. You'll just go right here to this wall. All I want you to do, some of you ladies in the Caris House ministry over here, I want you to get a buddy. I just want you to go, and I just want you to put one hand on this wall, maybe the other hand around your friend, and I want you to have a prayer meeting right here, and I want you to line all up and down, and in that wall, all that wall here, around all the walls of the church. If you want to go up in the choir, you can do that. We'll just go to the walls. If you have to go up in the side, that's good too. But I want you just to go, and I want you to have a prayer meeting. And here's what I want you to pray about tonight. I want you to pray that God begins to form the foundation of prayer in the life of Olive Baptist Church. That God shake us, and that God build a great foundation of intercession in this church, and that we become greater prayer warriors than we've ever been. This church's always prayed. As I said this morning, this church is 116 years old. We're standing on the shoulders of some great people of generations gone by. I'm not saying we're going to pray more or even better. What I'm telling you is that we're going to go deeper, and then we're going to go higher in our prayer life because God has more for us to do than He's ever had for us to do. So since we've got a greater call, we need greater intercession. Now, when you get done with your prayer meeting, I want you to get dead silent and stay at the wall. Don't have fellowship. Just have a prayer time and then just stand there quietly. If you're really, really weary or old or can't stand up a long time, then just slip over one of the pews and you can sit down. But I want you to stay because we're not quite done. But I want us to go to these walls and ask God to begin to do a foundation building in our life. Tommy and Kathy will go together, husband and wife. That's good. If y'all are on good, y'all okay? All right, good. And if you can't talk to your wife, then you might need to have a little confession time or just before you start. We may have a revival breakout in families tonight. That'd be good. You can find you a buddy. Ed, you don't have anybody. You can pray with Gary. It'll be fine. I'll be all right. Okay, you pray with him. It'll be okay. Amen. You just find you a friend. Family, get together. Leah's going to come down here and stand with me and receive people that need to get saved or join the church. And this is the invitation. Weird invitation, but that's what it is. Now I'm going to ask you. I'm asking you in Jesus' name not to go out the door. Because when you go out those doors, they make noise and people will say, well, there's somebody's running out. Okay, just don't leave. I want you just to stay and pray. Everybody can do this. So I don't know how. Just go by yourself and stand there at the wall. You say, Rich, why are we doing it at the wall? How many of you have ever been to Jerusalem? Now, don't write on the walls, all right? They write on a little piece of paper and roll it up and they stick it in that wailing wall. There's something powerful about that. That there really is. There's a hush there. Been there to pray several occasions. Never stuck anything in the wall. Don't need to write a note down. Just talk to the Father. Those are. She looked down in there. It's the foundation of Solomon's temple. It's the last place back to their heritage. Well, for those of us who are here at Olive, this place is part of our heritage. We come here for good things. Again, this is brick and mortar, but it's dedicated to something different than the brick and mortar house. So it's a special place. And I just pray that God would cause this to be a prayer house. And I want us to practice tonight. So you're finding a friend or you're by yourself, you got a spouse, just quietly get up now and go to the walls. If you need to be saved or join the church, come see me tonight. Then remain quietly at those walls when we pray. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Now, as you finish your prayer time, if you'd just stay right there and turn and look this way, we're going to all pray out loud together the Lord's Prayer before we leave tonight. What a great harvest time we had tonight with four people coming to join the church and two people coming to be saved and trust the Lord Jesus. Great on a Sunday night, people come forward and do just that. You've just been practicing intercession. So I just want you to make that your daily. I know that you do that. But God, teach us to be more fervent than we've ever been, and that we'd continue to be greater prayer warriors than ever before. So out of Matthew 6, where we find that great prayer of our Lord, then let's just lift this to the Lord just now. You pray with me out loud with a little gusto in this place. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And all of God's people say together, amen. Praise the Lord and hallelujah. I love you, church. Go and pray. Amen.